Hello, Voltron fans, and welcome back to another episode of the AfterBuzz TV Voltron Legendary Defender After Show. Tonight we are covering episodes 6 and 7, Taking Flight and Return to the Balmera. And team, it's time to form Voltron.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
We're a little shorthanded tonight. We're down to one hand on the head.
We got like that little like remix of the intro there too. It was really good. I don't know if you guys all heard that on your end, but
we got a little unsk on our end, so it's wonderful. Welcome back to the Voltron After Show. We are having a wonderful time. As you heard, we are doing episodes 6 and 7, so we're cutting off in the middle of a cliffhanger because that is how we roll. As you may have also noticed, we are short two lions tonight. Alexis had to go back and rescue someone, and Megan is taking an alien on a joyride. No, they're both on solo missions. We'll have them back next week. In the meantime, with me is Red Lion, Emma.
Yes, that's me, Emma Fife. I can be found all over the internet at my name, Emma Fife.
And I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me on Twitter at Kiaxet. That's K-I-A-X-E-T. We have the hashtag ABTVVoltron, and we have the live chat up. So if you've got anything fun to say, throw it in the hashtag, throw it in the live chat. You may well get a shout out.
Yeah, actually, I want to start out with some shout outs from the hashtag because there were a couple of really good ones that came in earlier in the weekend today. First of all, at Raymond_T tweeted us the Lil Formers picture of there's nothing scarier than the morning after an Energon binge. And it's like a mini Transformer who's got a Voltron lion for an arm saying.
It's a combiner. It's
it's a combiner.
Oh my God, what's his name? I can't remember. The green one.
Exactly.
The huge green one. Mm-hmm, I should know this.
It'll come to me like halfway through the episode and I'll be so distracted until
someone
then.
Someone put it in the chat. Just put it in the chat.
Anyway.
We should know this.
He has the red lion as an arm and he goes, oh man, what did I do last night? I got a kick out of that. Also, oh my goodness, at Sun Moon Night, you made my freaking day with your tweet. Basically tweeted at myself and Megan, who also does the Sailor Moon Crystal After Show, a picture of Hagar next to Wise Man from Sailor Moon R, or the Black Moon Clan story arc of Sailor Moon,
like,
Prince Demond! I mean, Zarkon, be smarter than Demond! So it really was amazing. And I tweeted back, Evil Eye and Beast Hand are not worth it. And if any of you guys watch Sailor Moon, you understand that reference.
Crossovers! It's all crossovers all the time up in here.
Yeah, and the great screen cap of Pidge and Lance when admitting that I don't watch Game of Thrones. That's also from Sun Moon Night, so... Thanks for your tweets, guys.
I don't either anymore. I gave up, and it was a good thing that I gave up. I'll just read the next book when it comes out in a decade. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
I liked a lot of the humor in these episodes. Especially coming after... Wow.
Yep.
Words, you guys. Work started again in earnest today, so I am just firing on all cylinders. It's great. It's great. This is the episode of the after show where the Galra attack and we have to rally together and we're having a tough time
with it. It's going to be a rough one.
It's going to be fun and interesting.
We clearly have the two like best pilots here.
Don't let them hear you say that. Yes. I love the humor on this. I loved coming out of this harrowing two-parter where the castle's under attack that we have... The reveal, which we really needed, just Pidge saying, I can't man up physically. Metaphorically, I can, but physically, I'm a girl, so no secrets.
Yeah, no, I did enjoy the way that she kind of phrased that as, like, as you say, I can't man up. Well, I mean, I can because it's really just a figure of speech, but I'm not a dude.
I love that she just occasionally rambles. Like, there is a silence, and I must fill it.
Yep.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Well, and the best reaction was that only Lance was surprised. Like, everyone else was like, oh, yeah.
Here's the thing. Allura was told.
She knew,
Shiro put two and two together. And did everyone else just kind of be like, no, the center of gravity's too low. It's got to be a girl. Like, Pidge, you are failing your disguise roles here.
Yeah.
The thing is, Lance is also failing his perception
checks. That's true. Well, and I just liked that Coran's response was, we were meant to believe you were a girl.
It's great. They've been saying
a boy, for a while. Yeah, I meant to believe you're a boy. Yeah,
what
sorry.
What are Altaian pronouns?
Yeah.
I mean, they've been saying he for about 5 episodes, so.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. That is true. Yeah.
Everyone else is doing it. I'll just roll with it. Things are weird.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good.
At just that, the time contest, just this little bit of world building, the difference between ticks and seconds.
Yes.
And just, are you having a clock party?
Yes.
And then one of my absolute favorite Keith lines, because Keith being dumb is just my bread and butter. We had a bonding moment. I cradled you in my arms. Yeah. Nope, don't remember. It didn't happen.
He was like, but I tried so hard to be a person.
I'm trying to, people. Is it working?
Yeah. No, I always enjoy... I'm a big fan of, like, characters. Because here's the thing about Keith. Is, like, Keith, fundamentally speaking, and sort of... textbook-wise, is very smart, and he's a very good pilot, but he's not very good at making human connections.
High intelligence, low charisma.
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
And all the D&D fans are going, yes, and all the non-D&D fans are going, what?
Yeah.
Been watching a lot of Critical Role.
Yeah.
Yes.
James Foran in the chat agrees Keith is still learning to people. So
he is. It's wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. So, but it is nice to see him acknowledging, like, I made an effort and you're, like, pretending it didn't happen. And you kind of continue to see, like, that kind of bonding happening with Keith and Lance throughout these episodes.
And the thing is, when they're not being stupid, they're a great team. When they're not doing this dumb macho rivalry idiocy that Lance started and Keith picked up on, like, oh, this is how we do things. No, honey. No, don't. When they're not doing that, they are a great team.
Yeah, they are.
Like, they work extremely well together, and it's not something you would really think would happen. And then you're watching them going, oh, yeah, no, this is pretty dang great. Look at these two go.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you. I mean, they're nice foils to each other.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And I think that is always the basis of really strong character relationships and also, like, team partnerships. So, yeah.
And this is why half the fandom ships them.
Well, I'm not excluded from that, so...
No, like I said last week, most of the fandom is just like, I'm down with this, I'm down with that. That's not my thing, but if you want it, okay.
Yeah,
just,
I'm
the,
like...
the chillest shipping fandom I've ever seen.
I'm, real open to whoever... you know what? Sailor Moon is similarly chill.
I'm coming off of the Steven Universe fandom where people are so insane about their ships, they're driving people who work on the show off of social media.
Yeah, so no, it's so,
like,
true.
It's really nice to just kind of sit here and be like, everyone's good.
Yeah.
Everything's good.
Allie,
we love each other and we're all scared of for sure.
Allie Surrett in the chat, in regards to what we were saying about the dynamic between Keith and Lance, it reminds her a little bit of Strong Arm and Sideswipe from Robots in Disguise. Not totally wrong. Not totally wrong.
Neither of them are smart enough to be Strong Arm.
Strong Arm is better at being a person than Keith is, but it is kind of it's a sort of similar dynamic. And that Lance is definitely
And they're red and blue.
Yeah.
Just opposite.
Opposite, yeah. I mean, Lance is definitely a little bit of a wild card, and, like, Keith, he's not quite as by the book as Strong Arm is, but there's certainly some similarities.
Yeah. Oh my God. I want that fan art.
Yep.
I really do. Yep. It's just going to be all crossovers all the time tonight, you guys, but I really want that fan art. Evidently, we are keeping Sendak on ice, which I don't think... This series is kind of like Steven Universe in that it doesn't forget things.
No.
Like, this is a thing that occurred. We're going to bring that back later.
Yep.
And also, I've noticed that, and this is just one of those naming conventions, that evidently if you're a Galra commander, you have to have two syllables and a K.
Mm-hmm.
Pro-Rock, Sendak, Zarkon. Like, someone find me an example, and Hagar doesn't count because she's not a commander.
Yeah.
She's terrifying.
A witch? I'm not really...
A druid.
Yeah, a druid. That's right, that's right.
And can we talk about this? We're doing the Planet Juice vampire thing again, and we're doing it on a very large scale. We've basically created a Gatorade factory here.
Yeah.
As opposed to just distilling our own. I don't know how you make Gatorade.
I don't
want to know.
Yeah, there's, like, electrolytes and food coloring involved, and...
It's 90% fake, but that's okay.
Exactly, but it's delicious.
But they're doing something called the Komar experiment, which after all this time, it's finally ready. Like, all right,
okay.
let's. And it's basically setting up this very large, half mechanical, half manned apparatus and sucking all of the quintessence out of a planet. So all those pink deer are dead now. They just murdered Technicolor.
Moment of silence.
They just murdered Technicolor Bambi. That's
Aww.
It. They, all of the Technicolor Bambis, they are gone.
Sad.
Because their planet is just this dead husk. And so it's like, oh, we don't have to take over planets anymore and do any mining or anything. We can just murder them wholesale and continue chasing Voltron. Like,
yep.
This is better? Somehow,
I guess.
This is just gloriously messed up.
Yeah, it is. I mean, one of the things I really like sort of about the world building that happens within this show, and it's interesting because, you know, some of the choices that they make, like, for example, in episode 7, when they go back to rescue Shay and they confront her family and they're like, she could be gone for good, instead of being like, she could be dead. Like, yeah. It is aimed at
kids show. It's,
yeah, it is a kids show, technically. It is aimed at your sort of Avatar The Last Airbender age audience. But that being said, you still get a sense of how, like, I sort of equate it to, like, Star Wars in some ways, that it's, like, you get the sense that, like, there is this really awful, evil, oppressive empire that's just, like, slowly but surely taking over, and to some extent, you're encountering a lot of people that are, like, we just kind of have to do what they want, because otherwise we're going to cease to exist.
Well, and in the case of the Balmerans, the Balmera's dying.
Yeah.
Like, we're hosed anyway.
Yeah.
They murdered our host planet, and now we're in trouble.
Yep.
This is great. Totally. This is fine. This is good.
This is all right.
I'm okay with the events as they're unfolding here. Like, yeah. Most of the Balmerans seem to be doing the this is fine dog sort of thing. Like, there's nothing we can do. And I love that we get back to Rax, of all people, who was the, I don't like any of you, I don't like any of this, you're screwing up the social order, go home.
Yeah.
Who evidently was the one to tell the Galra that they would be coming back, which is the best that I could figure from that dialogue.
Yeah, same. Yeah, because
it's
like
wasn't Rolo and company, they never said, we're going to the Balmera. There's someone named Shay, and I promised we'd go back for her.
Yeah, And Rolo didn't communicate that when he was going to give them the lions. So no. It definitely wasn't him, even though they, you know, jumped to the conclusion that it must have been him. But I think that was the thing that was really interesting about Rolo and Nima, was that, you know, when Rolo says to them at the end, after they don't, you know, kill him for betraying them, he says, I do really hope that you defeat Zarkon. And he absolutely means it.
Yeah. Like, they've been stealing from Zarkon. They're on the run from him, too. But at this point, it's more advantageous to answer that call and say, hey, we can get the lion. We have it right here. Let's get that reward and get our pardon and not be, you know, living in the shadows anymore.
Sure, yeah.
I'm fully expecting them to come back further down the line.
Definitely.
I am expecting literally everyone we have met in this series, especially since these people got a whole episode dedicated to them, to come back at some point later on.
James Foran says, technically, the Balmerans used the Force to communicate, so.
Oh, my God.
Andrew Fedge, I just noticed this comment, but it's amazing, which is, if we ever make a Voltron drinks list, we must find out what goes into making a Sendak on ice. We should just create a cocktail that's Sendak on ice.
So here's the problem. I have Vanique at my house, and it's purple, and it sparkles.
Oh,
I can make a Sendak on ice.
Seems like a Sendak on ice.
I can do this. I just need some time to, well, you know, it's an early show tonight. I got some time when I go home. Oh, God, I have to do this now.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Okay.
Katie will go home. She'll make herself a Sendak on ice. She'll tweet it later. Hashtag ABTV Voltron.
And then I'll throw it out the window, I guess.
You're just going to not drink it?
Yeah. Again, things we can't talk about till next week.
Gotcha. Great.
Yeah. Some people will understand that joke. But Sendak on ice. I'm getting derailed so easily tonight, you guys. This is what happens when school goes back in full swing. I love that this was a hunk episode. Did chat have something to say?
Yeah, just Andrew Fedge says that you need to do a how-to video on your channel for Sendak on ice.
Oh, my God.
Yep. I think this is happening.
You don't want to see how I mix, you guys. I don't believe in mixers. Drinks at Katie's house.
Yep.
Yes. I love this episode.
I agree.
It was a great episode for Hunk.
I just love that Hunk is portrayed as being so smart and capable. Because at the very they never really went there, but he did have some moments in the earlier episodes where he was a little bit of a, like, one-joke character, where it was, like, he was the heavier guy, he was getting sick all the time.
I'm so glad they got rid of the motion sickness.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Rest in pieces, that joke.
Just, yeah, no. Exactly. I mean, it was cute for the intro, but, then, like, it would have gotten old.
It was terrible.
It would have gotten, it didn't bother me at first, but, like, it would have gotten old really fast. And then, like, his first trip to get to his lion, like the freaking zip line thing doesn't work out. And so, like, I understand where they were sort of dancing the kind of fat joke lines, which is a little like, all right, come on, guys. But then to, like, turn him around and have him end up being, you know, the a very smart and capable mechanic in this episode, you know, he was the one that was like, guys, this whole thing is suspicious from the get-go.
Well, part of it was definitely because we're on a mission. Do we really have to take a detour? Okay, fine. Mechanical issues. My favorite part of this, and I know it was a whole, like, 10 seconds of the episode, was them all going into the lions and him just going on about, I knew it was this, I suspected this at this point. And everyone's going, we know, oh my God, we get it. And I'm listening to this going, you forget really easily how ridiculously smart Hunk is.
Yeah.
And then you just have this moment where sometimes when you're right, you just want to let people know how right you are.
Exactly.
And it worked really well for the audience because we're like, oh, that explains that. Oh, okay. So that was definitely talking to the audience.
It was. And I liked that he had really specific examples. Specs in the chat says, I'm really glad they made Hunk a person and not just the fat comic relief.
Yes.
Which
everyone in this show is a person.
Yeah.
Rover was a person. I don't know how they did that. But yeah. Rover was a person.
Yeah.
Too.
And I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing this wrong. It's spelled Y-S-Z-M-A-N. Yisman says Hunk is the voice of reason, which he is. He's very much the voice of reason. He's in a lot of ways, sort of the emotional intelligence of the group. I feel like he's the most well-adjusted human of any of them in some ways.
He's the Hufflepuff.
Yeah.
He's very kind. He's very stable. And if you cross him, you're going to die.
Yeah.
That's just, I mean, I know he's in yellow armor and it's so easy to just like color code.
Right.
But no, he is completely the Hufflepuff of the group.
Yeah, he is. And I did like all of the, a lot of the times on like Star Wars podcasts and stuff that I've done, they have a lot of like Star Wars science where it's just like terms that they like throw out and they're like this thing. And I felt like that was what was happening when they were launching the castle into space. And also when Hunk was going on his tirade about, well, I noticed that this thing was broken on the ship. And all of them are like, I'm not sure that's a real thing, but it's science fiction. So who cares?
Well, part of it was he was talking about a thermal pipe. And if the thermal pipe had broken, then stuff would have been melted because it keeps in the heat. So I'm like, okay, no, that it's still weird magic science.
Yeah. But it's
close enough that it
science.
Works.
Yeah.
Like, I'm down for this. I will take it. It is good. I just, oh my God, Hunk in this episode was a thing of wonder and glory.
Yeah. And I think, too, that it's, like, really great to see a character that is animated in a way that doesn't fit the traditional mold of, you know, the Hollywood hero being so smart and heroic and capable. And I just really, I really like Hunk as a character. And I think that this episode does him so much justice.
Yes. More Hunk episodes. Yeah. I love him. Backstory. Hunk backstory. It's going to be my first request for everyone. Just like, yes, tell me more about their past.
Yes.
What do you mean we don't get more about their past?
Yeah.
And you didn't even put it in the comics that came out. Come on.
Yep.
Just,
I need some backstory.
The perennial frustration of an 11-episode season is, no, seriously, give me some flashbacks.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. Yeah, I think, again, it's something that we've talked about before, that they're just individually, personality-wise, such fun, compelling characters that, like, you want to know, like, why they are the way they are.
They're great on their own, and they're better as a team.
Yeah.
And that's really hard to do in a team dynamic without resorting to some form of stereotype, and that's where a lot of team dynamic shows fall short. And they did really, really well for this one once they got out of the first couple team building, here's your characters, here's a rundown, let's go, episodes. Like that,
yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah, I agree.
I also think we got some really good Keith in this episode.
Yeah.
Just for flying, like, you're the only one that can get in there, go flush him out. And I'm like, oh my God, he's your bird dog. Yep. He is your asteroid field bird dog. I'm so happy.
Yeah.
And then we just got this wonderful sequence of flying. And you see how versatile the lions are, and it's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the lions are just as versatile, are just as versatile and diverse also as, you know, the people who pilot them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's really cool.
So sometimes you just kind of sit back and go, oh, this is a beautiful sequence. I'm just going to sit here and watch this.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right.
Well, and I felt like in episode 7, that's a lot of what it was. I mean, when they were going in to rescue the Balmera, the Balmerans, it was like that so much of it was just really visual.
Yeah. I don't have a lot to say aside from that. So yeah. And
what Shiro else can
randomly
you say?
Having a mouth blade, which is like, sure. You are really hurting for weapons on this without your Bayard, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, Bayard. Yeah.
And that is, I don't think we brought this up on the show yet. And that's mm-hmm. something I want to talk about because we see it in the theme. Mm-hmm. We just get this split second, like one of the last few scenes in the theme is you see the inside of the Black Lion and the Black Pilot with the Bayard.
Yeah.
But you never see the face.
Yep.
It's all from the back.
Yep.
So it's just like, okay. On one hand, we have a Bayard. On the other hand, we have no guarantee that this is Shiro.
I mean,
what are you doing, opening theme? You don't waste any scenes. What are you doing?
I feel like we can almost guarantee it's probably not Shiro, but that's
we could theorize
my opinion.
For days.
Yes.
We could theorize for days, and I know Tumblr already has, and there are some really great, like, we'll go into all of the different theories about whether or not Keith might be Gaara and whether or not there's a tracker in Shiro's arm. Like, we will cover a good chunk of those in our season finale
sure.
episode after we stop crying about the fact that we don't have a season 2 yet.
Yeah.
We'll get into that.
I mean, I feel certain it will happen, but I just need a release date, guys.
They said it would be later this year.
All right.
We are approaching the end of the year. School has started again, which yep. means we're getting into fall, which means we're getting into winter. So Voltron at some point. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I realize that was not a good sentence, and I really don't care.
That's fine.
Yeah. So we have... What else do we want to talk about for the first episode? I feel like we've
the
covered
other
just
other aliens, Abby, Rollo and Naima.
God, Rollo and Naima.
yeah, actually...
Norman Reedus and...
Lacey Chabert.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yes, Andrew Fetch said, did the other aliens remind anyone on the panel of Hera Syndulla from Star Wars Rebels? A little bit, yeah.
Oh,
I binged Rebels, so Hera was on my mind, but that's who I thought of. I mean, she does sort of have the Twi'lek, like...
A little bit. I was honestly thinking a little more Firefly.
Yeah, I mean, they looked like... sort of Firefight. If there'd been a lot of, like, if there'd really... Their outfits were very reminiscent of something
yes.
a Firefly character would have worn. And I feel like if Firefly were an animated series with diverse alien casts, these guys could have easily shown up.
Well, you know, outlaws kind of on the outskirts of things, picked the wrong side in a large conflict.
Yeah.
That's a little Firefly.
It's
just they're not our protagonists.
No.
They are really not our protagonists.
They're
our protagonists
not.
Are literally knights in white armor.
Yeah.
I...
Now, here's my question, because I remember the first time, I rewatched it today, but I remember the first time watching this episode being a little suspicious because Hunk was, but also being like, well, Hunk is really, like, focused on getting back to Shay because he feels that he really owes her.
Yeah, what? Yeah.
Because, you know, she basically saved him in the first place.
And again, that's probably the first time he's had to leave someone behind like that.
Yeah, definitely. And it was just, but on the other hand, it was like, he didn't even want to stop. So I was like, it was interesting because I feel that it's that nice conflict of do we, as people who are the heroes, really stop to save anybody who could possibly be an innocent bystander? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I guess my question is, like, I went into it thinking, well, I feel like this could go either way. Did you feel the same way, or did you feel like, oh, no, these are definitely bad news bears?
I kind of figured bad news bears just because we had the scene earlier with Pro-Rock talking about, well, I'll just capture Voltron myself and talk to all of the, you know, scum between this place and this place and tell them that we're putting a reward out for the lions.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a distress signal and, oh, our ship is down and Hunk is suspicious. And like, the episode has set this up for them to be shady.
That's fair.
Like, we have too many narrative clues for that not to be the case.
Yeah. I think it could have been interesting, and ultimately, they weren't bad people. They were people who were trying to get by.
They were desperate.
Exactly. Like, under the constructs of this oppressive society, And
that's why it reminded me of Firefly.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what hit those buttons for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, you got to do what you got to do to survive.
Yep. I loved Pigeon this so much. Just seeing Beezer, seeing the robot, and just immediately going anime eyes, like, oh.
I know. The
and
little,
just the little the, background the, like, bits with
the like
in the
pseudo astromech droid.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Enough for it to have a personality. There's one point where she's just sitting on it and they're both doing the Zen thing.
Yes.
It's like, you gotta be kidding me. Oh my god, this is so cute. This is unfair how cute this is.
Yeah.
So that's, I do think they'll come back.
Yeah.
I love that Lance and his ego getting him into problems.
That
and
was
Nyma playing him like a fiddle.
That was amazing.
Oh my god. Maybe Keith will give me a ride.
Yeah.
All right, let's go.
Yep. Yeah, I really enjoyed the whole bit of Nyma kind of leading him down the path to self-destruction.
Well, and he was so easy.
I know.
I mean, come on. You can see that a mile away.
Yeah.
And just, oh, you have to listen to him? I don't have to listen to him. Oh, okay, well, if you're sure.
Like, yeah.
Oh, someone else will give me a ride. Oh, no, I'll do it. Okay, if you're sure.
Well, and the fact that it was specifically Keith. Like, I don't know. It, maybe she's just really observant and she, like, picked up on that dynamic right away. But, yeah, it was smart.
That was, and then chaining him to a tree and leaving. And just his first reaction is, oh, this is kind of, I'm like, I'm sorry. Is that your kink? Is that what we stopped at? Okay.
Yeah.
Like, this is getting a little risque for a kid show. Oh, she's just tying me up and taking the line. Okay, wait, what?
That was a very entertaining moment. As
yes.
Because I feel like, you know, this show does what a lot of sort of the stronger kids, quote unquote, shows do, which is not only are there some really good messages and very realistic, emotionally relatable storylines, but there are some in jokes.
There's
for
some adult stuff.
Yeah.
And I love that whenever Lance gets inappropriate, Shiro just whacks him one and then moves on with life.
Yeah.
Like, this is not the first time
genius.
It's happened. And it won't be the last.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Catherine Nguyen says, I got some James Kirk vibes from Lance in this episode, to which Andrew brilliantly followed up. Lance really wishes he was the Captain Kirk of this universe.
Yeah. I don't think, honestly, if anyone ever said, yeah, sure, let's do it, I don't think he'd know what to do with himself.
Nah.
It's just like, nope. It is all bravado. And you'd just
it
be
is.
Like, okay, okay, okay.
Yep.
Hi.
I'm trying to think. There's some character.
What's the level of this show and how much of this can we discuss without going overboard?
I don't know. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm still laughing. This just, I want this art too. Just like, how do I bumbling attempted Casanova Lance?
I know exactly what I was thinking of.
What were you thinking?
I was thinking of, Ken Marino in Wet Hot American Summer, his character. Have you seen that movie?
Once a
okay,
while.
Okay, so
ago.
Basically,
I
like,
just remember the guy talking to Sue.
So he, yeah, that's, well,
that's
it was,
all I remember.
Yeah, it was a can of vegetables. Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, Christopher Maloney has a very understanding relationship with the can of vegetables.
Had some problems.
But in that movie, Ken Marino's character, like, is all bravado. Like, he pretends, like, he's gotten with, like, so many girls, and it's so great. And then he's like, I gotta get back to this girl, because this is, like, my one chance. So, yeah, that's what I'm getting
oh,
from Lance.
Oh, yeah, no, I remember that.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
It's been a while, and that movie is very low on my radar.
Oh. It's very high on mine.
Talking to Soup, that's all I got. That's all I got. But, yeah, again, I'm... Given how much time we spent on this characters, how much we've given to them, I will be very surprised if they do not show up in some capacity in the next season, towards the series finale, gathering a rebel force on their own. I don't know.
Yeah.
They don't seem like the type, but they also
no.
know that they very well could have just been killed by these people after this attempted lion kidnapping.
I think it would be more likely if we saw a rebellion like happening within this empire, within the Galra Empire, that they might be like part of it, but I don't feel like they're going to be the ones that are leading the cause.
No, but they'll be the ones talking about, no, we met the Voltron pilots. Yeah. Oh my God. You would not believe how well they can fly.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, this is crazy. I totally think they can do it.
Yeah. So they would be there sort of like raising the morale.
Yeah. Hoist the colors, et cetera, without being front and center. They're just the people that, you know, you have a conversation with in a bar and then you never see them again. And it was, oh, I just heard from this guy on this planet that they totally met the Voltron pilots and this happened. And then the story gets embellished and it gets bigger. And I can see them being those people, sowing those rumors.
Yeah,
and
for
then
sure.
Having people be more receptive, more willing to rebel now that they know that there's a force out there that can win.
They're going
to
be like Martha Jones. Basically.
Yeah.
In Doctor Who.
Better written.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Yes.
I liked Martha as a character, but season 3 did her no favors.
I know.
Yeah. It was a problem.
Yep. Anyway. Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to seeing them again. And
totally.
We keep talking about this stuff, and I'm like, I want that art. I want that art. I want that fan fiction. Like, yeah, I want all of this.
I loved both of their character designs.
Yeah. It's just, and again, the mech as well. They all looked really good. And it's this little dumpy spaceship that's their home.
Yeah.
Everything is beautiful and I love it.
Yeah.
Last thing I want to talk about for that episode, Keith getting back at Lance. Can you unchain me? Oh, I'm sorry. You're cutting out. I can't hear you. Like, the only thing that he didn't do was crumple a piece of paper on his speaker.
Oh, they're so in love.
They absolutely are. And we end this episode with, I guess we're making another Robeast. It's like, we have a little space chameleon. We're like, we're going to make you the biggest monster ever. It's going to be great.
Yep. Like, oh, and, yeah, and that thing, like, licking its eye.
Well, it's a chameleon. That's what wizards do.
Yeah. But to me, it was like, that to me is just such a sign of, like, being so, like, dumb and primal. You know what I mean? Like, you're licking your eye. Come on, dude. It was the way they animated it was very disturbing to me.
That's the point.
Yeah.
It's a lizard.
No,
and
I
know
it.
We don't get to talk about it till next week, but oh my God, I was scared of it.
Yeah.
Yep. I was honest to God scared of this thing when it showed up.
Yep.
But that is next week's subject.
Indeed.
And now we're talking about freeing the Balmerans. And it's just, again, I love the humor. And two of my favorite jokes going on here. The, we had a moment, I cradled you in my arms. And here, the laser noises.
Oh my God.
I just can't.
Yeah.
I will, don't worry. I love the laser noises so much. And we get to see Shiro being a dork.
Yep.
We never get to see that.
It was great.
It's like, nope, you're in your mid-20s and you're still kind of a dip. This is beautiful.
Well,
this is great.
And in the end, it was only Keith that didn't participate in the laser noises. It was so funny. Hunk's laser noises were amazing, by the way.
Hunk's laser noises were the best.
Yep.
They sounded more like lasers.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, my God. I think what made it so funny with Shiro was that it wasn't expected.
No.
Because you've seen him kind of doing the, we're not doing that, we're not doing that. Nope, not doing the siren noise. Nope. And then, come on, guys.
Yeah. Anyway.
But it's actually this.
Yep.
One of those things. Like, we need, it's just those little moments of comedy.
Yeah.
That really make it work.
And I like how you see, too, that, like, Katie has been Pidge for so long that, like, she's kind of adopted this persona of, because this is the thing, like, you know, girls make sound effects too, but like, little boys love making machine gun sounds. They love it. It's like,
they do.
Every boy I know can make like a great machine gun sound or like a laser sound. And so it was like really cute to see Pidge like participating in that. And not only that, but doing pew pew, like, which is the universal sound effect, obviously.
Well, and for lack of a better phrase, she's one of the guys.
Yeah. Yeah, she is.
Making fun of Hunk about his girlfriend. Like, and I love turning on that because they spent the first two episodes making fun of Pidge about her supposed girlfriend. Like, no, that's actually me.
Yep.
Hi there.
Yep.
So it's like, let's turn the tables a little bit. Like,
No,
you're beautiful and I love you. God bless.
Yep.
And yeah, we get the nice little, the Balmera's in bad shape. Here's plan A. We're going to take out all the Galra stuff on the surface. Don't shoot the Balmera. Seriously. It's kind of fragile right now. Let's not.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I'm a total sucker for this plot line, which is we have to invade a thing and rescue somebody, but we can't make a scene. I love infiltration plot I just love infiltration plots. I was like a huge Metal Gear Solid fan, and that was like, don't shoot people, hide in a box, like don't cause a scene. And I it's just so much more interesting that way.
Yes, it is. I just loved all of this, and I love that Plan A was guns blazing and we discarded that out of hand, and Plan B was destroy all their mining implements and draw them to the surface, and like, well, this isn't working. Okay, let's go in there.
Yeah.
All right, this still isn't working. Okay, we're all finally in the core. It's a trap. Well,
duh.
But. Obviously it was, but it's kind of one of those things where it's like, but what's they didn't our have other a choice. Options?
Yeah.
Leaving? Well, and we can't do that.
And I like that, you know, Shiro brought that up. He's like, it's definitely a trap, but we have no choice.
There's no, but they saw it as an ambush, and it wasn't an ambush. It's like, we're going to keep you here, and we're going to take the lions, and we're going to beat the castle, and it's going to be great. Like, if they hadn't had Shay in the core with them, or if their family hadn't listened, or if Rax hadn't gotten his head out of his posterior and been like, you know what? We actually do need to step up and do the thing now.
Yep.
Like, there were so many places where this plan would have worked.
Sure.
For the Galra.
Yeah.
But everything went just right, and we did this whole, we trapped them because of their compassion, but now we're going to show that compassion is still the stronger force.
Yeah, I like that message.
Life lessons, you guys.
And
life lessons.
And I liked, too, that, you know, when they initially, like, go to the Balmera and, like, again, you have a great moment between Keith and Lance, where Keith is like, I have this plan, and I'm right, and Lance is like, slow your roll. This is what we should do instead, and he's like, yeah, that really is a better plan.
Like, that is actually a better plan.
Yep.
And you can't just run in like a psycho.
Yeah.
Like, okay, well, you know, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
And then heading into the control room, and this is one of those little bits that it took me three different watches to pick up on it, and this is after someone else pointed it out.
Oh, I'm excited.
They're trying to figure out a way to close the doors, and they can't figure it out, and they can't figure it out, and they can't figure it out, and then Keith, just doing the let's go with Captain Obvious, puts his hand on the handprint, and it does exactly what they want him to. Next scene, Hunk has to open Galra technology using the hand of a Galra drone.
Yep.
Why does it work for Keith? So this is where all of the Keith is a Galra theories come from. So you know what? Question mark, we'll see.
I don't know.
Again, that is some season finale talk, but that is one of the biggest pieces of evidence that just randomly worked for him,
and
it doesn't for
anyone
else.
And he certainly seemed to have some sort of past connection with Shiro as well, who we know had some Galra stuff happen to him, so.
Yeah, but that seems to me like it would have been a connection formed on Earth. And again,
I agree,
backstory.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm just saying, like, I think there's possibly something there.
So yeah, that is definitely something I wanted to point out, because that's something that's really, really easy to miss and comes off as a, well, duh, Lance, you put your hand on the handprint. Wait, no, it doesn't work for Hunk either. Hang on. Mm-hmm. Hang on. That is, all told, it was actually a really good plan from Proros.
Well, and again, too, as you say, they, much like the Steven Universe team, I don't think these writers and animators forget anything. Like,
they have 11 episodes. They didn't waste anything.
Yeah. Yep.
So that is coming back. So much of this is coming back. We have a nice little scene of Pidge saving a couple of Balmeran children's lives. Like, this is all going to come back.
That was
back.
So cute.
Excuse me. Wow. I would not be surprised if, again, when we have whatever the rebellion or the final whatever is at the end, if the Balmerans aren't a big part of it, or if they've gone to other Balmera and released them as well.
Well, and again, I really liked the way they handled the Balmeran storyline, where in you're seeing a people, like, you're seeing a very oppressed people, and you see the divide amongst how they feel about, you know,
their oppression.
And about, you know, the paladins coming in and kind of shaking that up and trying to save them. You know, it's like Shay's brother is, say, I think he was her brother. He's certainly kin of some sort.
No, he was her brother. She introduced him as such.
And he explained basically, like, you know, yes, it was terrible, and we were being treated awfully by the Galra, but the family was together.
And that was the point, and that evidently those were his father's question mark?
Sure.
Assumedly father's teachings, that as long as you have family, that's what matters. And that's what comes back around, is I was the one that started this, I was the one that colluded with them, I was the one that got Shay taken away. How can we give up when the Paladins are sacrificing everything for us. Because part of it is Hunk kept his promise and came back.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that's something that Rax is like, don't just forget about him. Forget about the human. He's not coming back. He just said that. And then like a week later,
there surprise, he is.
Here we are. Like, oh, they actually did the thing.
Yeah.
And now they're in danger because they saved my sister. Mm. Yeah. You know what? We should step up. Yeah. We should step up. Let's do that.
It's totally true. And again, it goes back to what you were saying earlier, Katie, about how, you know, the Galra assume that compassion, that playing on the compassion of the Paladins is what is going to lead to their downfall, but it is what inspires the Galra to go, no, we, or the Balmerans to go, no, like, wow, they actually showed this, Hunk kept his promise, basically, like you said, and now we're gonna step up our game.
Like, yeah, he came, he brought reinforcements, they're helping us, like, wow, okay, they had a point, let's, all right. And that's the point where the Galra plan fell apart. Because if we hadn't had that change of heart, they would have been stuck in the core. Planet would have been destroyed. The Lions is Archon. Series over.
Yeah.
Like, this would have been really rough. But nope, we got out. We got back to the Lions. And I have, in my notes, I have all in caps, screaming makes you faster. Evidently that's how this works.
It's a scientific fact. Yeah, but I agree with Arthrit in the chat, and it was something we talked about at length on this episode, but Hunk is a gift, you know? And it is seeing that character whose great strength is loyalty and compassion being the one really, just by showing up and showing that he cares, that kind of saved the day.
Yeah, he gave hope to Shay and then came back and said, no, we're going to do this. We're going to liberate these people. Because that, for him, because remember, he wanted to go home as well. And then seeing the Balmerans and seeing how they lived, and they didn't know what the sky looked like, and they didn't know what it was like to be free. It's like, oh, I can't leave.
Yeah.
I'm one of the only people who can put a stop to this. And the fact that there are people living like this, like, I can't leave. I can't. I'm committed. I got to do this.
Yeah.
And it was a huge turning point for him.
Yeah.
And I like that we've gone with that. He's gone from 0 to 100 in terms of we're doing this. I'm in it to win it. I'm a leg. Let's go.
Yes.
I'm a leg. I am committed to being that leg.
You can't stand without legs.
It gives him a leg up.
Yep. no.
Megan would kill me for that, but that's okay. Yeah, and we have victory for about 5 seconds.
Right.
And then we have another pod crash on the Balmera, just like, hi, I'm next episode's problem.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's where we end that.
I know. I liked seeing, too, just the level of characterization that they give to all of these people, even in the way that they, like, speak. Like, I liked when they were all stuck on the Balmera, and they're like, how do we get, oh, hey, Allura, like, you got a spaceship. Can you come pick us up? And she's like, we're a bit occupied at the moment. Because they're under attack from all the Galra ships.
And Lance giving the long-winded explanation. And Shiro just going, look, this is what we're doing. We'll be out in a bit. Okay, yeah. Cool. Gotcha.
Yep.
All right, is there anything else we want to talk about for these episodes? Yes, no, maybe. Does Chad have anything fun to say?
Let's see. Jeff, 2886 says Hunk is Neville, as in Neville Longbottom, confirmed.
Yep.
Specs character development. I mean, and, Timberwolf, 410 agrees that he is very much a Neville Longbottom character. And that's great. Like, we need more characters like that.
He is the honey badger Hufflepuff.
He is.
He does what he wants.
Yep.
All right, well, moving into the technical side of things, guess what, guys? We're sponsored this episode.
Woo! What?
And now, a word from our sponsors, who would like to get you a box of stuff. We are, of course, talking about Loot Crate, the wonderful people who send you geeky things in a box. So you get collectibles, apparel, all that fun stuff from your favorite pop culture franchises delivered to you. You get a t-shirt, figures, comics, stuff for your kitchen, all sorts of exclusive items, Harry Potter, Marvel, Fallout, Star Wars. If you're into a geeky franchise, it has probably been in a Loot Crate at some point in time. And you get it for $20 a box, which is $20 a month. It's a monthly subscription service. They send you fun stuff. For $20 a month, you get 6 to 8 items, including gear, apparel, collectibles, one-of-a-kind things you can't get anywhere else. Loot Crate exclusives have been pretty dang good, you guys.
Yeah.
That Optimus Prime t-shirt that you've seen me in more than once. I love it.
I love that shirt.
That's Loot Crate. That is Loot Crate, and it is glorious. If you want this month's, you have until the the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific to subscribe. Otherwise, that's the cutoff date, and you get next month if you subscribe later than that. And we have a special for you tonight. If you go to lootcrate.com/buzz, that is B-U-Z-Z, and enter code BUZZ, B-U-Z-Z, like after Buzz.
Oh, imagine that.
It's on all of our episodes. B-U-Z-Z, save $3 off of your new subscription. So, yeah, lootcrate.com/buzz, enter buzz, all of that fun stuff. And it turns out that our crate this month, is anti...
There's one every month, Katie.
There is one every month. There's 12 in a year. It's like I can do math.
Oh, man. So good.
It's anti-hero. So we're talking about items from DC Comics, Archer, Dark Horse, and Kill Bill, including collectibles, a wearable, and, of course, the monthly tee and a pin. There's got to be Suicide Squad in this.
Yeah, that seems pretty likely.
I will be gobsmacked if there is not Suicide Squad.
And to answer your question, Andrew, in the chat, there is not a Voltron loot crate, but maybe someday there will be.
Send interested letters. Not to us, to Loot Crate.
Yeah, we can't. We have no influence there.
But still, yeah, Loot Crate, I can speak. Lootcrate.com/buzz. Enter the code word buzz. Save $3 off. Get all your geeky stuff and wear it because it is super great. So the other thing you can do for us is go onto iTunes, read, review, subscribe, all of that fun stuff. Thank you so much to everyone who has subscribed on iTunes and left a comment and rated us 5 stars. Five stars where you can buy things like Loot Crate. 5 stars. Because that is also what keeps us on air. That lets our producers know, hey, we like these people talking about giant robots in lion form.
Yes.
Because this is not the only giant robots podcast we do.
It's so true.
So many giant robots podcasts. But we like these people talking about giant lions and space pilots and crying over things. So obviously we want more of that.
We do.
And when you leave reviews and when you rate us 5 stars, you tell our producers, keep this after show on air. We love them. We want to hear more. So the best thing you can do, go on iTunes, find us. If you look up AfterBuzz Voltron, we are the first one to come up.
Yep.
And rate us 5 stars, all that fun stuff. Do we have any new reviews?
Yeah. Okay, yeah, so when was the last episode? August 11th? Something like that?
What day is it?
It is the 18th.
Yeah, 11th.
11th, okay.
Or 12th.
August 12th. Okay, well, this August 12th one probably wasn't published yet.
Probably not. Let's do it.
It's entitled, God, I love this podcast! Many exclamation points by Otaku-sama.
I like you already.
I'm a new Voltron fan, and a friend of mine recommended this podcast. These guys are so funny, and it's really nice to hear people talk so passionately about something that they like. 10 out of 10. We'll be listening again. Thank you, AfterBuzz TV, for this podcast / YouTube. Smiley face by AliceSoul21. These are all 5 stars, by the way.
You guys are wonderful.
Love Voltron, Legendary Defender. Love fangirling. Put it together and you have gold. 5 stars. Thank you. Thanks so much by Cat Smiles. Love this whole series and love listening to you talk about it. And then the most recent one is my AfterBuzz faves! ! By Beatrice the Gold. I'm so happy that my favorite hosts are all together. I found this after show through Steven Universe, and I can't believe I haven't watched Voltron before. I blame the Shonen stick I've had up my butt for the last decade. I know that feel. Great show and even better podcast. If I could give more than 5 stars, I would. P.S. Someone should make a Shiro's right hand account for reasons.
Oh, God.
Good suggestion. I like that.
I'm still waiting for Galro Dumpster Fire.
Yes!
Like, I need that. Thank you. Who was it that sent us the GIF? Same person who sends us the Spencer Harris.
Yeah.
Sent us an honest-to-God GIF of a dumpster fire.
It was like, great.
I was laughing at work, and I had to explain to my coworkers what I was laughing
about.
Yeah,
Sun Moon Knight crushing it on the hashtag.
Seriously, holy cow, you guys. Come on, get in there and give them some competition.
Yeah,
let's do
exactly.
It. We check this hashtag. We live on it. It's wonderful. Thank you for your gifts. Thank you for your captions. You guys are so funny. We have Quintessence. We have fuel for the dumpster fire now.
Yep.
And we are, we're going to get into some fun stuff next week. Do you have any final thoughts on this episode? Any last things that have come to you? No pressure.
I liked seeing Allura get to pilot the spaceship.
Yes!
That was
beautiful.
Fantastic. And I liked the way, like, I just liked the mechanics of the spaceship. It was like she just had her hands on the things. It was like kind of a little Escaflowne-ish.
I love that all the pilots have seats and none of them can read.
Yeah, it's great.
Like, these are great displays. What are we doing?
Yep. Yes, I liked that.
Yes, that, God, these were so much fun.
Yeah, these were great episodes. Really
and
good.
And then we get the second half of the two-parter next week, and we will be talking about that. Next week will be in our normal time slot,
yes.
Unless we announce differently. But odds are we will be back at 10 p.m. Pacific on Thursday night. So keep an eye on the hashtag, keep an eye on our Twitters. We will let you know if that changes. In the meantime, Emma, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Emma Fife, which is my name, EMMAFYFFE. For those of you who are listening, that is all F's as in Fred, no S's as in snake. You can find me on the Steven Universe After Show, which is going to be returning a few Thursdays from now.
First Thursday of the month.
Yeah, first Thursday of the month. That'll be spectacular. I'm very glad that there are more episodes of that show still happening on Cartoon Network because it tends to have a crazy airing schedule.
We got a new one today.
Yes. Also, you can find me on my Sailor Moon podcast, Love and Justice. Look it up. If you look up Love and Justice in the iTunes store, it'll come up. If you look up Sailor Moon in the podcast section of the iTunes store, it's usually like the second result. It kind of goes back and forth between that and the AfterBuzz show. So be sure to check that out.
You can find Alexis at ATaurus890. You can find Megan at TheMenguin, TheMenguin. And I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me on Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, and YouTube at Kiaxet. That's KIAXET. I am also Kia Prime on Snapchat. If you want to see my face react to things, that's on the YouTube channel. All the reaction videos, all the time. And yeah, we will be back here next week for another two episodes and probably more crying over things and being real happy about the humor in this show. Thank you guys so much for watching. We will see you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
We had a bonding moment!
Nope, don't remember, didn't happen.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.